and you want something to happen at point B, you create the form here. You create whatever form it is here, and then you transfer this form over to wherever you're going. And so you can transfer your form so you have that power when you get there. And a lot of people do that. I want certain things done before I get there. And so I'll send it, like if I'm going to a particular center, I will create the thought form here in my meditation, and then I'll think it, I'll create the form, then I'll transfer that to that location by visualization of the location. Then my vision comes in. This is all thinking. I'm not talking about visualizing. I'm not talking about feeling it or nothing. This is just to think it and keep the thought close to you when you're building it. If you start sending it as you're building it, you get all strung out. The next thing you know, when you get it, you only got part of it over here. And the rest is all strung out. So you want to build this form very strongly here and then transfer it to the location. Send it before you. Send it down the road. It's like you're on a trip and you say, gee, it's such and such a mileage, I need to get some gas. Or at such a point, I'm going to get gas. And then you're watching everything and the priest says, oh, I need some gas. So you send it down the road. It's not in your mental body here. It's down the road and you run into it. Have you ever been driving and you go past a certain place and you think of the same thought that you thought there before? And then you get involved in that? Oh, yeah. But if you don't go past that point, you don't get that thought. But right there at that particular stop sign or right there on that corner or right there at that particular house, you had that particular thought, and every time you go by there, the thought is still there and you run into it. When I had built up thought forms all the way from Ka'ava all the way to Honolulu, and I would do an unbroken chant. So I'd have one long string of energy, one long line of energy from Ka'ava to the center in Honolulu. And so if I needed to wander or go off and do some other things, the autonomic nervous system would take the car to the center while I could be off doing other work. You see, and I had the strong line, and so the autonomic nervous system would follow along that line from Ka'ava, a little city I lived in here, over to Honolulu. Now here's a line of energy. Now I wouldn't make any wrong turns off of this. I would go from point A to point B, and my autonomic nervous system would be there, taking me. And many times I would have out-of-body experiences. I would go into different planes of light, different areas of consciousness, and I wouldn't be aware of the road, wouldn't be aware of the car, wouldn't be aware of anything, but the autonomic nervous system would be driving it. You're not always in your car when you're driving down the road. You notice that? Oh, gee, you slam on the brakes. Oh, gee, I better turn here, you see? But if you program and say, I want to turn at a certain point, then the thought form would be there at that particular off-ramp, and you would go off. You would find yourself being drawn towards it magnetically. So it is a magnetic power. It will stay in the location. It's like them cursing an entrance to a tomb, you see? And they chant and they pray and they put this thought form there. Don't come in here, you know, this is sacred ground, you know, bad things will happen to you, da-da-da-da, and all this kind of thing. And in the ancient Egyptians, some of their rituals were to take a slave and were several slaves, and have them buried with the pharaoh or with the one, and they would say, okay, you're going to receive the afterlife with the pharaoh when he goes across, he'll take you with him. And then what the priest would do, when those individuals were leaving the body, they would capture their souls and bind them in a time and space consciousness right at that entrance. And then when the only way they could take and get free is to enter a body and die again, you see? And so when somebody, an archaeologist or something, would break in there, this entity was trying to enter on their body, and it started attaching to them. And they feel these strange feelings, things trying to take me over, this heavy pressure come on me, these kind of things as I was coming in the room. Look at all the ones that broke into King Tut's tomb. There was such a ritual done there that most of those people are dead within, 6 months after they opened that up? They all had these mysterious deaths and accidents and things. Because this other entity is on there splitting their mind. And so now they're going different directions. And those entities, in order to ascend, had to kill that body, had to die again. Because they already left their body and it was decayed. And they needed a body with life force in it to ascend on.
you see. And so there was a lot of that kind of Wicca or earth magic done where they bind them to the earth, that kind of spiritual science. And the kahunas would take, and, you know, it's due to the belief of the individuals. If they didn't believe that, they would ascend. See, if they believe they're going to write to God, as soon as they die, they go right to God. But see, they believed they were going to Pharaoh, so they didn't quite know where they were going, and the priest would call them by their name. The name gives dominion over it, and they call the individual and capture their souls. You see what I'm saying? Lacunas used to take and cut up the soul. And many times we'd go over and work in those hay houses, and we have to call up souls and bring them souls back together and then send them off to light. And we'd sit there and do rituals for that. And we'd see them coming right out of the hay houses and coming right out of those areas and light. And it's powerful, what they call it salvage work. Soul salvage, and doing, there's not too many people doing it on the planet, but there's a bunch of us that I know several people that do it, and I know in Hawaii and up in Canada, and people that do salvage work, what they call, where they go into the inner planes, they go into other planes and save that soul from the darkness or bondage or something, and help them and free them to the upper field, because they're not, sometimes they don't have the beliefs in Christianity and that, because they died before Christianity, you see, and so you needed to free them at that point. So it's due to their mental configuration, their thought forms, is how you're going to take and animate matter. If you're afraid of fire, you get burnt when you touch fire, because you have a thought form that says, if I touch fire, I'm going to be burned. Now, we had to do rituals to put our hands in fire in this one Tibetan ritual, to put our hands in the fire and that without being burned, to hold our hands in there. Now, I've seen some get blisters from the fire and not feel the burn, but they got blisters because their belief was weak. If they got a blister, then the priest said their belief is weak. See? But if they believed God was with them, the spirit was with them, it could not be destroyed. Their indestructible spirit is indestructible, and the spirit and concentration is in the hand. I held my hand in there and never got a blister. I just held it, and then I learned to work with fire. And there was one point where I was creating it with the mind. I would create the form and the power, and then the fire would appear, and people in the room would see the fire. And so that was one of the, you had to make fire with the mind. Well, this part of the mind animates the emoting forces or desire body that animates the matter, the physical body. And when the mind is not bound by legs and arms and torso and head and brain and blood and guts and veins and all of this thing that we usually associate saying me, I, if it's not associating with that and now has a freedom, has an indestructible belief and consciousness, now that mind can do tremendous things, and it can help others do tremendous things. A healer has attuned to the healing part of mind. A teacher is attuned to the teaching part of mind, and they know they're always a student being taught by the Sadhguru, the inner teacher in them. And so there's a part of mental strata that is a teaching part, and they call that the guru. It's not a person. It's not a Hindu man sitting there in his orange robe and his beard and all that. It's not. That's not the guru. See? And a lot of people, when you hear guru, they think, oh, that's my spiritual teacher. It's that guy or this girl or this woman or those people or that people. See? When we say guru, that's the power that has the wisdom over the darkness and the light, the guru, guru. The guru, the light, the guru, the darkness, the guru, the light. And so it has the power over the darkness and light, you see. And so that's the wisdom of God that has that power. It's only God's intelligence has that kind of power. So you must be one with God's mind then. Not my body, but God's body. Not my emotions, but God's emotions. Not my will, but God's will. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. Have you heard these kind of things? Well, that's what it's saying. Don't be trapped in limitations of these lower transitory experiences, because you notice that your thoughts are always changing. But see, they're not changing. You are drifting through them. Your mind is drifting through them. The thoughts are always there. Every thought that ever could be thought is already thought. Everything is already there. And there's the idea of the tree. Everybody can get the same idea of the tree, but if we have them draw trees, they may draw different trees. Like one might draw an oak tree, another one might do a pine tree, another one might do a walnut tree, and one do some other kind of tree, sandalwood trees. But the idea tree would all be the same. This area of mind gives it individual expression. gives a description. And so if we say, what is that there? And we say, the idea's chair. And then you describe it. Okay, it's a leg. It's a seat. It has a back to it. It has arms on it. It has so many of those dowels around there that are shaped that way, and so many that are fatter there, and so many this way, and the structure. And we can describe it's got a hole in the back to pick it up, and you know it's contoured here, and we can describe the chair. But somebody else might say, oh well, no, that chair is like this chair over here. It has padding on it. Another one might describe the metal chair, the plastic chair, or some other chair. But the idea chair will always be the same. That's the constant. But the description may be different. That's where this mind comes in and describes things differently. But in God's mind, chair is always chair. You see? No matter how we describe it, anything by another name is a rose by another name is still be a rose, right? They tell us. So in mind, no matter how much of a description we give, it's still what it is. The truth is always the truth. And so this area of mind is only describing what comes from the higher abstract or creative mind. It comes from ideas, conception, awareness. Now in this mind, as we had impulse in this emotional level, we have compulsion. Compulsion in the mind. Impulsion is emotional. Compulsion is mental. So if you have somebody that has a compulsion, it's mental. If they have an impulsion, it's emotional. They're impulsive. They're impulsively doing this, impulsively doing that. Compulsion means that their will is on that. Now, I'm going to give you a little exercise to build your willpower, because due to the degree of your willpower will be how steady your mind can be to create this thought form for transference. If your willpower is weak, you will waver and your thought form will waver. You see? But if your willpower is strong, it can be steady. Now here's a simple exercise for willpower. This week, go buy a big box of kitchen matches. You know, you ever see those, like Ohio's? They don't have to have blue tips, you know, something, I've got to have them blue tips, you know, self-strikers. It doesn't matter whether they are what kind, just as long as it's big kitchen matches. What you do each day for 5 minutes, you take those matches and you pour them out on a table, and then you put them back in the box. Now that's all you do. Don't think you're doing anything while you're doing this. Just take and put them for 5 minutes back in the box. If you have to pour them out a dozen times to get that 5 minutes, or one time, whatever speed you want to go, that's fine. Just at the end of 5 minutes, you have all the matches back in the box. You see? What you're building up is a basic willpower. Without willpower, you couldn't even walk across the room. You have to will the body to walk. You have to will the body to talk. You have to will the body for desire. You have to will, be willing, willing. And the power of willing is very strong. A lot of people would want other people to do things that they're not willing to do, and they wonder why the other people won't do it for them. You must be willing to do it too if you're transferring that thought. If it's not in you to do it, when you build the thought, you're giving part of your consciousness to this thought that you're forming there. And if it's not in you, if you don't have that element of action in you and you create it synthetically, it will not have the same function in the other individual. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The more direct power you have, the more powerful the thought form will be. They used to go through rituals of actually going through the movements of what they wanted somebody else to do, you see, to take and make what I'm telling you. You must be willing to do it. You must be able to do that same thing. You wouldn't want anybody else to do anything that you wouldn't do, so to speak. And so don't transfer thoughts that have synthetic buildup in what may be so, because if you don't have direct knowledge, it's not going to be true. It's only going to be hearsay, what somebody else described, what somebody else experienced, something else outside of you. It makes it outside and objective, and what you're doing here is a subjective act. Now most of the Western mind does not do subjective acts consciously. They're always me and them. I and theirs. Mine and theirs. I and them. They're not in we and us consciousness as we humans, all of us here. These are these other people that have came here. to the objective mind. So this is a subjective mind where you're at one. The more you're at one with the individual, the easier the transference. Now Salah came, when she first came, she said, "Oh, I'm at one with you." But she had so much pictures of her own consciousness, she couldn't pick up my forms. I would send them, she would get them, and I'd say, "Well, did you get them?" And she'd say, "Yeah, but I was busy doing this or that." So she was doing what she wanted to do. So for the last month, I'd just say, "You're always doing what you want to do. Why don't you, pay attention to me, and it'll be easier," and so on and so forth. "And let's get this transference and start working on higher levels instead of having to describe everything to you and having to do it myself, you see, to show you." And so she finally fell in love. See? Once you fall in love, you got it. A daughter and a mother, a husband and wife, a father and a son have an easier way of sending that transference. My grandmother knew immediately if anything happened to any of her children, no matter where they were, and any of their children, and any of her relations. She'd say, "Oh, so-and-so needs some help right now. Let's start praying for him." Start praying for him. And then somebody come over and say, "We were really needed you the other day, but then everything was okay." And then we'd all laugh because we knew at that time she was praying for them. See? And there was no telephones there where they called us. We had a telephone, but they didn't call us on the telephone. They didn't send a letter. Nobody came over and said that. It was the thought going to her, and she was always open to the whole family. And anybody came to her for readings, that she was open. See, this is what the guru does when it comes through an individual. It makes that subjective consciousness where we are one. See, we're all one in the body of Christ. You see, we're all one in the body of Christ, and we're in that consciousness. So then we have an interplay. We have a freedom to associate with one another there. But see, I'm in the body of God, which the Christ body's in, and the Buddha body's in, and the Krishna body's in, and all the other masters that have ever been is in that body too, you see. So I'm one with all those other bodies. When I'm one with God, I'm one with everything. But some are deifying men and limiting areas of consciousness and not seeing God as everything. And so that's been the big failure of religions and practices. People say, "Okay, I've got the way over here and everybody else is wrong." You see? Or all those are lost and I'm the only one that's going to be saved, or there's only going to be 144,000 of us saved and the other rest of the 4 billion, I don't know what's going to happen to them. There's over 77 billion people on the planet and there's 4 billion of them on here now. See? So this is the most populated this planet has been at one particular time. It's right now. There's over 4 billion people on this planet. In fact, in 1980, I think it was, when we passed 4 billion people. And by the year 2000, I think we're supposed to be like 10 billion on the planet, if it continues. You see, in that repetition. Then what happens? Big war comes, kills off a bunch. You see? So they don't overpopulate the earth or something like this. And we say, "Oh, that's evil, that's bad, because someone got killed," you see. When they went into Tibet in 1959, and then 1 week, they killed 1 million Tibetans. Did you know that? That the communist Chinese went into Tibet in 1959 and killed in 1 week 1 million people? Isn't that something? Oh, I was so sad about that. I said, why is the world crying about that? Why aren't we saying stop that? And I said to this master, his name was Kala Rumpache, I said, "What about that?" And he says, "Isn't it wonderful that all those people could ascend at once?" Now, he had the positive side. And here I'm saying, "Oh, those poor people, they all got stabbed, and they got killed, and and blown up, and all these things." And he has the positive side. Isn't it wonderful they could all raise to God together? They could all ascend together. Well, that's quite a different point of view. Now, we can look at the light side or death side to anything. We look at the positive or negative side of it, you see. Look at Second World War. It united the world, didn't it? Where it was not so united before that. See? But it was the way it was done. We had to unite against the evil. You see? That's the way every time a struggle comes, it's that good and evil battle. And then there's always that one factor that's in between. The neutral universe. Stay within the law, stay within the neutral universe, and all things will flow. You see? You can't go wrong in that. It's when you go outside of those laws. This area of mind deals with law. It deals with systems, and law is a system. And I'm not talking about cosmic laws. I'm talking about the laws that we make the laws of the land, the laws that we make for social experiences, laws we make for the way we operate schools, operate businesses, all those are systems. This area of consciousness and intellect in the mind, the thinking mind, works with systems. And it works with either abstract systems or practical systems or emotional systems or physical systems. Law is a system of control, you see. Just as God's law controls all creation, man's law is trying to control man's creation. You see, he's mimicking the heavenly laws. See, but sometimes he makes up his own law. You know, they were looking, doing research on old laws on the book, and there was still a law in California up till about 1968 or 69, where it was illegal to drive an automobile down the street without a man with a lantern walking along in front of the automobile. Now, I mean, that's so impractical nowadays with our speed limits. I mean, nobody's going to be running 55 mile an hour down the highway, I'm sure, or 60 or 70, as some people do, you know, before that vehicle with a lantern. It'd take two people every time you went to use the car, right? But that was the law, and the law was never changed. It was never taken off the books. There was a law that you couldn't shoot rabbits off of the streetcar down in Los Angeles, you see, and it's still on the books. See? And then it was made back there in the 1800s. Now you don't see jackrabbits, you see. So they probably shoot people or something, you know. That's the biggest murder area in the country, you know. In 1981, they had 1,000 murders in 1 year there. 1,000 murders in 1 year there. Man in this area connives. This is his conniving area, his cunning area. Here's where he's going to get it over on others. My system's better than your system, consciousness. I do business better than you. It's the manipulating part of consciousness. It manipulates other areas of consciousness because it's not freed by habit. I mean, it's not bound by habit, it's free. So thought can think of all kinds of alternatives. And a lot of times you know something, but then you get thinking about it, and you get all these alternatives, and you go off on some other area. It's this part of your mind will do that. Here's where the word consciousness is. Are you always thinking in words? Start thinking in color. Just start thinking in color. And this week, instead of thinking in words, when you see physical things, say red. When you see emotional things, say orange. When you see mental things, say yellow, and say these colors. See, green for psychic things, and soulful things, and blue for creative things, abstract things, indigo for the image of superconscious areas, violet for universal and cosmic levels, gold for cosmic and master levels, white for the Christ light, and crystal for the spirit, and pureness for God. And when you see those things, identify them. Now, you know what will happen? You will correlate the consciousness of your mind. And then if you want to know something in the physical level, you go through red to that physical level. You see, it will correlate your mind. The Rainbow Bridge is a correlation tool. It correlates all that you have experienced into these levels. And they're psychologically, these colors affect those planes. So it's not something, some system we made up, it's the way we respond in consciousness, in vibratory expression to other things. And so when you start thinking in colors, you stop thinking in words. Words are limiting. I've heard some people talk and talk and talk and not say anything. I've heard say a couple of words and change my whole life. You see? Just with a couple of words, change my whole life. Change the whole direction of consciousness, open up a whole new awareness. So the amount of words doesn't give the amount of intelligence. The ability to be precise comes from this area. This is our ability of science. This is the scientific mind that takes everything apart. See, it can take everything apart to analyze it. See? But they can't always put it back together, you know. Some don't put it back together. They tear it apart instead of take it apart. See? someone go rip, 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 and they get to the, what they want, and then they say, okay, how does this thing go back together now? They don't observe how it comes apart or they could put it back together. It's important to observe your train of thought. And if you don't want to ride that train, get the next train. You see? Every train that comes by a thought isn't necessarily yours either. There are people sending thought transference to you. The government sends thoughts for the people. There are creators in business are thinking, come and buy my product. They're sending thoughts to you. You see what I'm saying? They're polluting your mind. You've got friends and relatives, they're all sending thoughts. How many thoughts do you send to others? Oh, I wish they'd do this or do that. You're sending thoughts there, you see. And so all the thoughts that come into your thinking mind are not your thoughts. Observe them and say, are these mine? You know, get control of that area of mind. Make sure that those are your thoughts and they're not somebody else's thoughts that are coming in your mind. Somebody hasn't transferred it. Now, we take mental breaths. If an individual is always thinking, they're hard to penetrate. We call them thick-headed. They're hard to get through, too, right? Because their mind is going while you're even talking to them. They're thinking of something else, so they're not getting it. They're not listening to what you're saying. They're observing. There's got split attention. You can't serve two masters, you know. You'll cheat one and give to the other. You can't serve. You can't split your consciousness. Divide and conquer is the way that goes. United we stand, you see. Divided we fall. So if you wanted to conquer somebody, you split their mind. Split their beliefs. Split their consciousness. You see, split their ideology. Split their ways of thinking. And that's what a lot of different countries are doing to each other, you see. But when you hold this one-pointedness of consciousness, one-pointed mind, you have a penetrating willpower in mind to make an impression on others, you see. And it's the one that can hold that thought in their point. How many times you go into a conversation and you had a point you want to get across, and you get someone else led the conversation at you, lost your point, you go away, and then you say, oh gee, I wanted to get this point across. But they got me off on this thing or got me off on that thing, you see? What is happening is you lost your point of view, you lost your ability because you weren't observing the thought forms in the direction they were moving. Thought forms may go up, they may go down, they may spread out, they may concentrate. You see, they're going in all different kinds of directions. They expand, they contract. They go in, they go out. They go left, they go right, they go up, they go down. They're aggressive, they're passive. They're neutral. See? Where's the vantage point? Centered. A mind that's centered and calm sees all that's going around. Is observing all that's going around. Now, observation takes energy. You need to do that with energy. It means you need to assert that kind of energy. Now, witness, you don't need to assert energy. Observation takes a searching with the mind, the movement of the mind. So when people are thinking, there are times they take mental breaths. At that point, it's the only point you can interpenetrate the thought. When they're towards you and say, I wonder where they're at, they stop for a moment. And then they may go on to something else. So it's that moment when the thought can come in. So if you're sending a thought transference and you send it to somebody and they're thinking at that moment, they're not going to get it. But if you say, okay, stay there on their aura till they're open, till they take that breath. Now they're getting well. Send a thought of getting well there. You're getting better. You're getting better. You're getting better. Now send this thought to them. And then you send that thought, and you visualize that person, and you send it there, and you see it with them. Now they may be thinking doing all this, and you say, okay, when they're open, let that come in. As soon as they take a mental breath, as soon as they say, okay, then in it comes. You see? But how many times you send things, and nothing happens? Because they bounce off of the thinker. They'll bounce off if that mind is busy. If it's focused on something else or in a different direction, then it's going to bounce off. So you want to start learning how you transfer these thoughts. That's why we begin with, like, say, you're at home and say, okay, when I get to work, I want to think of this particular thing. Or when I get to this particular street crossing, when I get to the corner of such and such, I would like this thought there. And then just let it go. And do your business, whatever. When you get there, the thought will be there. Then you'll be aware of how you can do that. You see, you'll have proof. Now, another way of finding this thought transference is go to a restaurant and you want a total stranger. Nobody you know. This must be done with a total stranger for you to have proof. You're not proving your sanity. See, this area of mine needs proof. This is the skeptical area. This is the part that wants proof. So, okay, you have to prove to the intellect before you're going to get to these higher powers, you've got to satisfy this intellect. So you go to a restaurant or a public gathering, and you look at somebody. Don't look at their face. Look at the back of their head. Find somebody who can look at the back of their head. And just think, I wish they'd turn around and look at me. Look in this direction. Look in this direction. Would you just turn around and look at me? And keep sending that, and then watch what happens. Sometimes they go. Some people go like that, and some of them. Now, we build willpower by the match exercise. That's that simple. If you say you're going to do something, do it. If you decide not to do it, say, I decided not to do it. But give clear, distinct impressions to your mind now. Don't say I'm going to do something and don't follow through, because confidence comes in this area of mind. See? Confidence comes in that area of mind. If you lose your confidence because you're not following through with your word, and the word becomes made manifest, and if you stop that, you have perverted the power. In God, when he spoke the word, it became manifest, you see? In you, when you speak the word, it becomes manifest. So if you say I'm going to do something, do it. If you decide not to do it, say I've decided not to do it. Don't let it hanging out there, or your willpower will be driving your desire in the wrong direction, you see? And so you want your willpower to be strong, and so if you're going to manipulate something in yourself, change a habit, something like that, stay with it till you succeed, so the free of mind has proof, and you have confidence of accomplishment, see? You need that confidence of accomplishment there. Accomplishing your words, then you will find having a problem there. The thinking mind deals with words, and it deals with the language you speak. And if you speak more than one language, then it deals with more than one language. But it is a word area of consciousness, and thinking always deals with words. We're not talking about envisioning or feeling or knowing or seeing or any of these other areas. We're talking about thinking. Make sure you give to Caesar what's Caesar's and you give to God what's God's. Give to the thinking mind what's it and what it's not it. Don't dilute yourself. Keep your intellect. Now to summarize up, this ray is a yellow ray of power. And so you should get something yellow around you so that it will remind you of mind. Pay attention to mind. Now as you clear your mind, as you're doing your meditations or your chanting, see, what you should do, you should chant till the mind is chanting, and then you're watching the mind chant as you start viewing it. You become objective to the chant. But so many people are chanting, and then they become subject to the chant. And if they stop chanting, then their mind stops chanting. See? But you should chant to the point that your mind keeps chanting, and then you move off, and you're witnessing the chant. Now you can start looking in other directions. You see? Because the filament of the mind, all creation is within the filament of God's mind. Is infinite intelligence, and it's the mind that holds all things in form. It's the mind that holds all things in form. It's holding all of your thoughts in form, all your habits in form, all your beliefs in form, all your understandings, experiences, all of that's held in form by the mind on these various levels. So that's the yellow ray of power. Mental power is your ability to get off of your own individual point of view and to expand to the infinite point of view. The more you can include the infinite and others in your mind, the more mental power you have. And we'll, as we get to psychic levels and how to control those things, we'll tell you more about that. Thought transference is to build a thought and then transfer it to a location, person, place, or thing. You see? That's the thought transference. Build the thought and then transfer it. This is great for healers, people who are working with healing energies. You want them to say the thought that Christ is coming in, that God is coming in and healing them. And if you don't believe that, your thought form will have that quality of non-belief in it. If you believe it without doubt, you don't have faith in it, then that faith will be in the thought form. You can't put things in there you don't have. And you can't. People won't react to the synthetic things. You see, and even if they do, then they'll fall later. See, as soon as they find out it's synthetic. Right? So make sure it's the truth and the love and the wisdom, the purity, the perfection. It's the actual reality when you are forming that thought form.
the more from your own direct knowledge and experience and belief that you can place within the thought form, the more powerful it'll be when you make the transference. So you do that. I do that for my students. I do that for my with my teachers, and I get pick up their thought forms and energies that way. Then the thinking mind deals with words. It's reason, logic, correlating, calculating, assumptions, conclusions, comparisons, judgments, opinions, all those kind of things are dealing with the thinking mind, analyzing. Willpower is your ability to control the movement of your emotions and your body. And willpower is to use on yourself, not to use on others. You don't use your willpower on others, you let them use their will. See? The willpower must be used on you. See? And a lot of people are trying to make somebody else do something for them. Well, that's the fool. The fool tries to make things happen. The master is letting it happen. Get the difference there. The fool is trying to make it happen while the master lets it happen. Willpower is your ability to control where you think, where you move, where you act. That's your willpower. In your mental capacities, in your emotional capacities, in your physical capacities, that's where you use the will on you. And if you're not willing, then you should not ask someone else to do that. Okay, questions now on this level of mind, in this class. Yes?
When you're talking about
okay, they got to accept your word. They got to accept you.
Okay. First, they've got to be thinking.
Their mind has to be open to you, pointed in your direction. Well, the more it's pointed in your direction, the more direct the energies, the quicker the response. See? If she was studying, I would have to put it in there, and when I'd put it in, and then when she was ready to receive, then it would go in. You see, then when she thought about me. No?
No.
Oh, if she's studying, I would have to keep working on it if I wanted to have that direct instant thing. See? Direct. But if I want to set that thought form, okay, at a certain time, call me, I would send that to her, and then she would get an impulse at that certain time to call me. See? And she may be thinking of other things, but as soon as she takes a mental breath, the thought would come in. You see, I talked about mental breaths, where they have a space, where they hesitate for a moment in their mind, then it'll come in. See? That's when it comes in. But like you send a healing something to them. And some people, that scares. They say, oh, what's getting into me? My grandmother used to say, what's getting into you? And I'd say, what is it? I'd be afraid something was going to get in. One time I went in and they had a nice birthday cake, and so I went along the edge of the birthday cake. It was good. Well, there was a flower there, so I thought they wouldn't miss half the flower. So I took half the flower. Then they had a whole big crowd of people come over, and they opened up the box. What happened to the cake? I'm the only one going, and they turn around and they catch me. And my grandmother says, what got into you? And I thought, something got into me? Besides the cake, I was wondering what it was. And I got so frightened that something was going to get into me. What are you letting get into you? So that's why you do the auric exercise every day. You do your meditation every day to build your aura so nothing penetrates that's below the level of vibrations that you're asking for. See, if you build a nice, white, clear aura, then you'll get those higher vibrations. But if you don't reestablish your aura on a daily basis, it starts having holes and breaks in it and things. And you're letting other things come in there. You let fear come in, and doubt come in, and shame, and guilt, and all of those are entities. See, every power is held by a spirit, and that spirit then will come in. You can have the spirit of faith, you can have the spirit of courage, you can use all those things, but you're not those things. You're using them, just like you're using the body. You're always pure. See, you're always God experiencing. You're always pure. You're always pure, perfect, whole and all, right now. See? But you may be deluded by putting on these other sheets and saying, this is my mind, my experiences, my thoughts, my habits, my body, my, you know? And the next thing you know, you've lost your purity, see, by identification. Whatever you say, I am that. Om Tet Sit Om. I am that I am. The I am that I am. Or thou art that thou art. You know, that's the saying, so that kind of identification. So when you get to this area of mind, then you want to, you have to watch what you're saying, identifying with. You don't want to identify with negatives, STDs and suffering and things like that. Don't think about those things, because your mind, your thoughts become magnetic center. If you're holding them to yourself, then you'll draw those things. Well, I'm going to have an accident. Next thing you know, you have an accident. I have to be very careful because it happens so quick in my consciousness and in my life now. You know, I can't even make a picture, then it starts coming right at that moment. I have to watch. Some people, it's, they say it, and then it finally comes into being. And some people, you notice, they talk for years about something before they do it. See, that's a slow process. Then there's those that think, and that magnetic then brings it to them. You see? The magnetics of thought then brings it to them. But then vision, from spiritual level, is more instant. And when you have instant manifestation, I had a point where I had the instant manifestation. Whatever I said was instantly there. I had to slow it down because I didn't have the control of my life and destiny at that point, and I was creating negatives too. And I find myself, I imagine going through something. The next thing, I was right in it, and it was negative, and I didn't want it. And so I had to slow the process down. And I said, thank God for the tolerance he has to give us a little leadway in our life, that every word doesn't come into instant manifestation. Just think what you would have done to yourself if everything you thought about yourself in the last 24 hours came into instant manifestation. See how polluted the thoughts are? Or the words you said about yourself, if they would have all became solid. See? The more presence you get, the quicker the manifestation. The more now you are, the faster it will happen. So the more you can bring your mind to present, the faster that energy will happen, you see. The faster the healing happens, the faster the transference, the faster the image happens. My son would say, gee, give me that ring. That's a nice ring. He'd think of it in his mind, and he'd be looking at it, and the other person would take it off their finger. Say, here, I have an impulse to give you this ring. He'd say, thanks. I said, what are you doing? Where'd you get that jewelry? He had on a beautiful turquoise bracelet, and he had on this ring, and some guy was handing him an extra. The guy had bought two of these, surfboards. And here he was giving him a surfboard. And I said, what are you doing? He says, well, you had two of them. I just thought he could give one to me. I says, you don't do that. Don't do that to the people. And we had to stop him because he was playing like that. You know? And some do that. Oh, give that to me, or I want one, I want that. You see, that's called envy. It's taking what... And it's not saying, I'd like to have something like that. It's saying, I want that. That's envy, is you want what the other person has. See? But it's okay, you can have like anybody else has. Like anybody else has. But if there's only one red Cadillac candy apple tuck and roll, you know, and you want that one, you might have a dozen other people wanting that one too, you see? See, they're all envying it. They're wanting it from someone else. And the other person says, I don't want to sell this. Next thing you know, he says, I sold that car. I didn't really want to sell it. I can't figure out why, because all these thought forms were on him. Constantly, sell, 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 sell. Come on, give me that car. I want that car. Man, if I had that car, wow, you know. I've seen guys do that when I was younger. Hey, give me that, Matt. I want that, you know. And not something else like it, or, you know, something equivalent to it, but that one. You don't want to do that. But you're asking God. You're not saying this person or that person when you're doing those kind of thought transferences. Other questions? Let's take a little break.